Please turn with me in God's precious word to Jeremiah chapter 8. We'll read from verse 13. The states the Lord here has spoken to Jeremiah, revealing to them about the sin of the nation. I want to read just from verse 13, and we'll read through to chapter 9, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 8, and the Lord says in verse 13, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the fenced cities, and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gale to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses were heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the name of his strong ones, for they are come, and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send servants, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the daughter of my people. Because of them that dwell in a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images, and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes as a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to his own inspired word. We'll seek the Lord now in prayer, asking the Lord to direct us to a verse of Scripture, and pray that the Lord would meet with us tonight. Lord, we come afresh to Thee. And Lord, we thank Thee, O God, for the singing already. Lord, we believe thus far we've been able to sing Thy praises. Lord, we've been able to center upon the great work of Calvary. We thank Thee, O God, for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we rejoice that we can say, like the hymnist, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank Thee, O God, for that blood sprinkled away. And, O God, we come to Thee on redemption ground. Lord, we come, O God, now to this open book. And, O God, we pray that Thou wilt abide with us this night. Speak to everyone sitting in our midst. Speak to preacher alike. And, Father, we pray that at the end of this night, O Lord, that Thou wilt draw us to Thyself. Lord, reveal Thyself, O God, this night. Open our hearts to Thy word. Open Thy word to our hearts. And Father, may we see none, save Jesus only. Bless, O God, we pray, for our Saviour's sake. Amen. The text that I want to leave with you tonight is found in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. The word of the Lord says, Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah, the prophet of the Lord, has faithfully proclaimed God's word to the nation. This nation has forsaken the Lord. They have turned to idols. They have turned to images. They have turned to false things that are against the Lord. In verse 1 and verse 2, it tells us about these images, these idols, these bones, these things that they worship. It says there, whom they love, whom they have served, whom they have walked, and who they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. Verse 5, they are described as a backslidden people. Verse 19, they have provoked the Lord to anger. with their graven images and their strange vanities. And judgment is coming upon this people. Oh, we learn there between verses 10 to 6 that the Lord is going to send the Babylon captivity to them. The people are going to come. Oh, they can hear the horses coming down. They can see the enemy coming in. They can hear the noise of the horses that are coming to take the people into captivity. And yet the people still will not return to God. The people have refused to listen to God's man with God's message, and they still continue and still dwell in their sin. Verse 17, I will send serpents, cockatrices, which are vipers or adders, among which shall not be charmed. They shall bite you, saith the Lord. And here it is here, that these vipers, these snakes, they will come and they will bite them. They will not be charmed. You will know in certain countries around the world where the charmer will have that wee whistle and he'll sit and blow, and the snake will come out of that wee bundle and its head will be sort of controlled by that whistle. But here it says they'll not be charmed. They'll be free to do what they want. They'll run wild. They'll basically bite you. Such will be the severeness of this rebellion. And Jeremiah's heart is broken for this nation. Oh, the daughter of my people, they have forsaken the Lord. Worse still, in verse 11, there is the false teachers, the false prophets, the priests, who tell the people, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, they proclaim a false message, telling the people, don't listen to the message of Jeremiah. Oh, the enemy will not come in. Don't worry about it. There's still plenty of time. None of these things are going to come to pass. You live how you live. It'll be peace, peace. But Jeremiah says, and the Lord says, but there is no peace. Why? Because true peace only comes through the Lord. And sinner, here tonight, we live in such an area like today where there are false men in our nation, false men in pulpits today, who will tell men and women, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Because true peace only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. For the Lord Jesus Christ, He went all the way to Calvary. He shed His precious blood. He died on that cruel tree to reconcile man back to God, to redeem sinners, to redeem souls back to God. That's why Scripture says, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace through the blood of His cross. If you want true peace tonight, it's not found in a system. It's not found in anything you can do. It's not found in job satisfaction. True peace is having your sins forgiven. It's knowing that you sit there as a child of God, that all the wrath of God is not upon you anymore, that you're no longer condemned, but you are a child of God. I say to you now, do you have peace with God? Are you a Christian? Can you say, yes, preacher, my sins have been forgiven. They which were many have all been blotted out by the blood of His cross. Or do you still sit there in your sin, in your rebellion, in your iniquity against God? Strangers to grace, strangers to God. Oh, Jeremiah is lamenting at this people, his people, who are in rebellion against God. Verse 11, 19, 21, 22. The same words. For the daughter of my people, my nation, rebellion against God. We read in the chapter 9, verse 1, where we read Jeremiah weeping day and night over the sin of his people. And he says there in chapter 8, verse 21, I am black. And that's the expression of mourning, of weeping. The idea is when you go to a funeral, people will usually wear black as a sign of respect, as a sign of mourning. Now, whether Jeremiah is wearing black here, I don't know, and I'm not there to say that. But as many commentators will hold, that the phrase I am black refers that he is in deep mourning because the nation has rejected the Lord. They rebelled against the Lord. And Jeremiah's heart is broken. And we say to you tonight, sinner,
and night for you, because you are still outside of Christ, still without the Savior, without hope, and one without the Savior dares to die. Oh, it brings tears to our heart and our soul, and we are hurt for you. And Jeremiah says to the people, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah is basically saying, with all your rebellion, with all your iniquity, why have you not come to the Savior? I want to talk to you tonight about the balm of Gilead. The balm of Gilead. Notice, first of all, there is the need for the balm of Gilead. The children of Judah knew about the balm of Gilead. Jeremiah draws their attention to it. That's why he said, is there no balm in Gilead? It was known to the people that in times of sickness, in times of disease, in times where they weren't well, or whenever they had a bite, like from an animal that we read tonight about the fibre would bite them, they knew that there was a place that they could go to in Gilead, where there would be a special gum from a tree that they could rub on the wound, that there would be a person there who would rub on the wound, and it would heal their pain. It would take away the infection. It would take away the swelling, and it would help the body to be healed. And they knew that. And Jeremiah uses this physical sickness, or this physical ailment, and he says to them, there is a balm in Gilead, but deeper, he sees there spiritually, and he points them to the true balm of Gilead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how Jeremiah, through this portion, describes the people. First four, if you look there, he uses everyday situations, nature as itself. It says there in verse 4 of chapter 8, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? And the simple teaching is, if someone falls down, will they not get back up again? If you were to walk out of this church tonight and you fell right down, you wouldn't stay down. You would get straight back up. And that's what he's saying here. If they fall, they'll get back up again. Notice what it says in verse 4 as well. Shall he turn away and not return? If they're going in the wrong direction, if anybody is going in the wrong direction, surely they'll know to come back again to the right direction. And here Jeremiah is saying to the people, you're in the wrong direction. Anybody who goes in the wrong direction, they'll turn round again and go in the right direction. But my people, they're still going in the wrong direction. They have not got up, they're still lying down. Verse 5, notice what it says. Why then is the people of Jerusalem slid back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. Notice, they refuse to return. Verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. Here he goes to nature. The birds know at certain times of the year, in the heat and the temperature, to fly certain places. But yet, notice what it says, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. First time, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And as Jeremiah teaches the people of how they are in their physical state, he gives a greater spiritual lesson as well, that their heart is not right with God. And he directs them to the true, to the healing balm of Gilead. Just as they knew about the physical element of going up to Gilead, to going up to this balm, so there is a true spiritual lesson for the soul to go up to Gilead, to go up to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the human heart and the human soul need spiritual healing. Scripture speaks about man's natural state, man's depraved condition. For men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And whenever you read Scripture, we learn about sin, how it's described as disease, how it's described as leprosy. It's the sickness of the soul. You turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, we get a great
truth here of the condition of man. Isaiah chapter 1. Notice what it says here in verse 4. Isaiah chapter 1. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, for they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. And here is this people, a people laden with iniquity. They are a sinful nation, literally a sinning nation, a nation that have come short of the glory of God, a people who dwell in their sin. They have forsaken the Lord. Notice what it says there in verse 5. Why should we be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. Notice those words. The whole head, the heart is faint. It's sick. And here we have man's thought, man's affections, man's total depravity, man's iniquity. For man is born a child of wrath. Man is born a sinner. And God exposes man's nature for what it is, in rebellion against Him. Sin touches every faculty of the soul. It goes on to say there in the scriptures, in Isaiah there, verse 5, or verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even onto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And here is the description of the sinner. He is described with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. He is unclean in the sight of a holy God. And that is the same description that is given of sinners, of the diseased, even in Scripture, of leprosy. You think of the leper. In Mark chapter 1, of that man who was a leper, and he came to the Savior, and he said, Lord, if thou canst, thou can make me clean. Why? Because the leper was unclean. He was cut off from the temple. He was cut off from society. He had to be left alone because of his vileness, because of his rottenness. Think of Naaman. Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, that great man, the host, the captain of the army. And great things are said about Naaman. A man who knew great victories. A man who knew what it was to lead an army. And there was great things said about Naaman. But what does the verse say about Naaman at the end of chapter 5, verse 1? It says, but Naaman was a leper. It didn't matter about all the accomplishments of his life. It did not matter of all the great victories he had brought. Scripture says, but Naaman was a leper. And that shows us here tonight, sinner. It doesn't matter how good you think you are, a self-righteous person, the best person you may live to be, the person who seeks to do everything for anyone. And you may say, but my merit will get me before God. My good works will get me into heaven. I'm a good person. I do the best that I can. Yet before God, all your righteousness are as filthy rags, for you are a leper in the sight of God. You are full of wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores, unclean in the sight of a holy God, for your iniquity has separated you between you and your God. Oh, the people here are describing the need for the balm of Gilead because they had these open wounds that needed to be cleansed. They had these open wounds that whenever they went to Gilead, they knew that they could be healed. And sinner, tonight, the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All those born through Adam's race, born as sin. For by one man, sin came in to the world. The need for the balm of Gilead. And there's a need tonight for you to have your sins forgiven. There is a need tonight for you to come to Jesus Christ because you are born a sinner. Because you are filthy before the sight of a holy God. And you must come tonight. Notice secondly, there is the nature of the balm of Gilead. Notice its preciousness. Gilead was a country beyond Jordan, which grew certain trees. Trees of
a special kind that were only found in Gilead. And it was thought that these trees in Gilead, that whenever they were pierced, a special gum came from them. And it was said that this gum would be used to heal people. Whenever, like we said, whenever they had cuts or wounds or whatever it may be, they would go there, and then the physician, he would get this gum, and he would apply that gum to the very wound, and it would take out the pain, it would take out the itching, it would take out the swelling, and it would be used to heal that person. And there was enough to meet the need. And the Jews knew to go there. For Jeremiah says in chapter 47, verse 11, he says these words, "Go up to Gilead, take the balm. Go up to Gilead, take the balm." Chapter 51, verse 8 of Jeremiah, it says, "Take the balm for pain." So the balm was known for this special healing, to soothe the pain, to take away all those infections. And I say to you tonight that this balm reminds us of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood. For His precious blood is sufficient to save the finest offender who truly believes. For we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. There the Savior hung on Calvary's tree, smitten, stricken of God. All we like sheep had gone astray, but all our iniquities were laid upon Him, and it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. What did it say in Acts chapter 5, verse 30? That the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom He slew and hanged on a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And the Savior being made a curse for us, He went all the way to Calvary. He was pierced, He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And on the cross, His precious blood flowed. I say to you tonight that it precious blood because of the worth and the value. It is not just any blood. It is the blood of the God-man. The blood that satisfies the Lord, satisfies God. Our Savior, His life was taken in death, and His life was given. We read there of His life being taken from Him. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. That they had killed the Prince of Life. We learn in Isaiah 53 that He was cut off from the land of living. Oh, His life was taken from Him. But we also learn throughout the Gospel that He laid down His life a willing sacrifice. He came to seek and to save them that were lost. He laid down Himself a ransom for the many. Oh, I say to you tonight, sinner, go up to Gilead and take the balm. You must look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must look to the precious blood of Calvary. For what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, would you be free from your burden of sin? Oh, I say to you tonight that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And hallelujah, that the blood has never lost its power. And there's blood tonight to save your soul. Hell, guilty, deserving soul. Because Jesus Christ died for sinners, and none need perish, for Christ hath died. Psalm 22, verse 16. They have pierced my hands and my feet. John 19, verse 37. They shall look on Him whom they have pierced. Oh, He was pierced. And when He was pierced, the precious blood was shed. Whenever they went to that tree and they pierced that tree, the balm flowed for the people. Go up to Gilead, take the balm. Sinner tonight, come to the Savior and be saved. Notice not only the preciousness of it, but I want you to know the physician. Because Jeremiah says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And the word, whenever they went up to this tree, there was a physician there who was skillful to apply the balm to the people. And that word physician, it simply means healer. used many times through Scripture. We learn in Genesis chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "And God healed Abimelech." And that word "healed" simply means physician, the same root word. But also in Exodus chapter 15, you may know this word a bit more better. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, where we learn about the account of the children of Israel. And it says there in Exodus 15, 26, "I am the Lord which healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha." And you will know that story well, that whenever the children of Israel had come out of bondage, they were looking for water, they started to murmur, and they came across water, and they could not drink, because the water was bitter. And they called the place Marah, which simply means bitter, or bitterness. And the people murmured again to Moses, started to complain. Moses then came to the Savior in prayer to intercede. And the Lord told Moses to cut down the tree. And when the tree would fall, it fell right into the bitter water. And it made the bitter water sweet. And the great lesson there is about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes away the bitterness of sin. And ever the Lord spoke to them and told the people that of all the afflictions that came upon Egypt, they would not come upon them. For just as he healed the waters, as he made the bitter water sweet, so he would heal them. For I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. And I say to you tonight, sinner, there is only one that can heal your soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. You don't need a priest. You don't need to pay money. You don't need to go on the internet to try and find 12 steps to get to heaven. I say to you tonight, Jesus said, "I am Jehovah, I am the Lord which healeth thee." He is the one that can heal all your soul's diseases. The people, the lesson was that when the bitter water, they couldn't do anything about it. That took one to do something about it. And I say to you tonight, sinner, you cannot do anything of yourself to save you. You cannot do anything of yourself to take away your sin. You need one who can do it. One who was sinless. One who was spotless. One who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, who knew no sin, who became sin for us, that we might behave the righteousness of God in him, the physician. You need the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. What about you? As you sit here tonight, can you say, "Yes, preacher, I need this physician. I need this one to heal my soul of my sin." Notice also the proximity of this gum. Because it was granted only to the children of Judah. And then through time, it spread through many nations. We learn that such was the value of this balm, that it was either sold for money for such a high price, or it was given as a gift. And we learn there in Genesis chapter 37, you will know the story well, where this balm is used. You remember a young man called Joseph, the dreamer of dreams, who his brothers envied him. His brothers were against him because he had this coat of many colors. And it says in Genesis 37 that they conspired against him. They wanted some way to get rid of him. And they found a pit that they could throw him into. And they thought to kill him. But then they changed their mind and said, "No, let's just throw him into the pit. Let's leave him there. Let's take his coat off and cover it with the blood of an animal and take it home to our father and say, an animal has devoured our brother Joseph." And we learn when Joseph was left in the pit that a group came called the Ishmaelites. And they came, and it says in chapter 37, verse 25, that they came from Gilead. And they carried the balm down to Egypt. So they came from Gilead, the only place where they could get the balm, and then took it down to Egypt. We learn as well in Genesis chapter 43, verse 11. You take time to read the whole chapter. But in verse 1, there is a famine in the land again. And Jacob has to send his sons down to Egypt again to meet Joseph, though they don't realise that the man there who is the governor is Joseph. And before, the last time they went down, Joseph said, when you return, bring your youngest son Benjamin. And whenever Jacob says in chapter 43, tells his sons to go down, they say, we can't go down without Benjamin. We can't go down without our brother. And Jacob agrees to it. And he says, okay, basically, send them down. But he says these words in chapter 43, verse 11, that about taking the best of the land, carry down the man a present, a little balm. Carry the man down a present, a little balm. And here we have this balm going from Gilead down to Egypt, spreading all over the place, going into the hands of different people, different nations. And I say to you, it teaches us about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are to win to all the world and preach the gospel. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, I say to you, spread the light, spread the gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Oh, pray, oh God, give me that fire in my soul, give me that burden for my neighbor, that burden for my lost one, that I can reach them for the gospel. Oh, I say to you, we ought to go in to the highways and the byways and compel them to go in. When you go out to your reach tomorrow night, oh, you pray, Lord, give me a person to talk to, somebody in distress, somebody that I can meet, that I can tell them about Jesus, the mighty Savior. Oh, the gospel, the good news, will spread how we ought to tell men and women about the true healing balm of Gilead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, the neglect of the balm of Gilead. Jeremiah says, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why are they not recovered? Jeremiah laments over the nation, over their state, over their condition. If you look there at verse 22, you'll notice there are a few words in italics. And that simply means in the originals those words were not there, but they replaced them to help us get a better grasp, a better flow of the language. And if you read there without those words, verse 21, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold of me. No balm in Gilead, no physician there. And the whole sense is that Jeremiah is saying that there is a physician there. There is a balm there. But the people act, the people live as if there is none. And Jeremiah is astonished. The word astonished, it means literally horrified. Jeremiah is horrified because of the people's sin, because they've rebelled, because they've rejected God. And there is a healing balm there. There is a physician there. And they still have not gone up. And Jeremiah is horrified. And sinner, tonight we are horrified for you to know that no man is promised tomorrow. That you're here tonight under the sound of God's word. You've heard about the balm, the precious blood. You've heard about the physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And still you have not been recovered. The word recovered there, it simply means went up or go up. Why then have not the health of my daughter? Why have the people not gone up? Why have they not gone to the healing balm? They know about it. And they still haven't gone. Oh, I am horrified. I am astonished. Oh, the people had neglected the healing balm of Gilead. I say to you, sinner, tonight, do not reject the precious blood of the Savior. Because the blood is precious. The blood is the power to save you. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 17 says this here. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And I want to share with you something.
something that happened, or this is just a news article, but the Daily Mail, 6th of April 2015.
If you remember, there was that lady on TV, that Jehovah's Witness, and I'll get into the whole Jehovah's cult and all that there, but
the woman was giving birth, and it was told that she had diagnosed with leukemia. And if she was to take a blood transfusion, there could have helped heal her, and the child, it could have helped her. But it says it would require her to have the blood trans, but she rejected the help. She rejected the blood. 5th of November, a 22-year-old mother died just hours after giving birth to twins because doctors were forbidden to give her a blood trans. Why is that important? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. If a person ever has a bad car accident or they cut themselves severely, you will hear the doctor or people say they need blood because they're losing blood, that they're dying. The life is in the blood. If that person loses their blood, they're not saved in time. They will have died. This is taught in Scripture. You take time to read Genesis chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, about the animal sacrifices whenever the animals were killed, and the blood. Whenever the animals lost their blood, they lost their life. They died. Regarding murder as well. The whole point is, the life of the flesh is in the blood. That verse also in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 17 goes on to say, it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And that word atonement, it means to cover. The life, that's why we tell you about the precious blood of Jesus Christ, because in his blood is life everlasting. And it is his blood that makes atonement, that covers the soul. And when you reject the blood, you reject life. And whenever you die in your sin, you will go to a lost eternity, perish forever and ever, separate from the presence of God. Oh, I say to you, turn, by the Savior and mercy is calling. Steer for the harbour line, for how do you know your soul may be drifting over the dead life? There is a famine, Gilead. There is a visit. Come to the Savior. Come to that fountain filled with blood and have your sin forgiven tonight. Let's unite our hearts together as we pray.